Mama, dear mama, I've something important to say.
All the warmth surrounding me, this night staring at me.
Sing if you're glad to be gay. Sing if you're happy that way.
Welcome to This Way Out, the International Lesbian and Gay Radio Magazine. I'm Greg Gordon. That notorious Cairo club raid leads to hard labor for 23 Egyptian men, 3 Australian states grapple with lesbian and gay rights, and on queer vinyl, a sweet woman and 2 guys who are out and glad to be gay. All that and more this week, now that you've discovered This Way Out.
I'm Cindy Friedman.
And I'm John Beaupre.
With News Wrap, a summary of some of the news in or affecting the lesbian and gay community for the week ending November 17th, 2001. Verdicts and sentences were pronounced in Cairo this week for 52 Egyptian men arrested in a May police raid on a gay-friendly Nile riverboat club. One man the prosecution portrayed as the ringleader was convicted of both obscene behavior and contempt of religion and sentenced to 5 years hard labor. A second man convicted of the same 2 charges was sentenced to 3 years hard labor. 20 more men were convicted of obscene behavior and sentenced to 2 years hard labor, while another man convicted on the same charge was sentenced to 1 year hard labor. Because the trial was held in the emergency state court, the convicts have no right to appeal. Their only hope is that Egyptian President Hosni Mubarak will pardon them instead of certifying their sentences. However, the 29 men who were declared not guilty could face an appeal by the prosecution in a month, and they have not yet been released from jail. All 52 men have been incarcerated throughout the 6 months since their arrest, and many have claimed police abuse and torture during their detention. The men have been so sensationally portrayed in Egyptian media that it's believed that even those cleared of charges may never live normal lives again. Previously, the lone miner arrested in the raid was sentenced in a civilian court to 3 years imprisonment, and his appeal is now in process. All the men had pleaded not guilty. It's believed that the convicted men were those who confessed, quite possibly under duress, to having had sex with other men, and those who were presumed to have had anal intercourse based on medical examinations.
International human rights groups, including British-based Amnesty International and U.S.-based Human Rights Watch, as well as U.S.-based IGLHRC, the International Gay and Lesbian Human Rights Commission, Brussels-based ILGA, the International Lesbian and Gay Association, and the U.S.-based International Gay and Lesbian Muslim Group, Al-Fatiha, have condemned the trial proceedings as unfair and the arrests and prosecutions as violations of international treaties. They are demanding pardons from Egyptian President Mubarak and calling on the U.S. government to join in pressuring him. Egyptian human rights groups have generally stood aside from the proceedings, ostensibly to protect their credibility on other issues. Homosexuality is so frowned upon in Egypt that the head of the Egyptian Organization for Human Rights told London's Guardian newspaper that to support the defendants would have been like jumping into water, not to try to save a drowning man, but to die with him. Observers have suggested that for the Egyptian government, the arrests and trials served to appease conservatives, to distract the public from other issues, and to halt a perceived growth in promotion of gay tourism. Certainly many gays and lesbians are now calling for a tourism boycott of Egypt. For Egyptian gays and lesbians who lived in fear even before the May raid, the nightmare continues. It's now confirmed that 4 more men were arrested this week for suspected homosexual activity.
A young gay Iranian national has won refuge in Sweden from persecution in his homeland. Interestingly, the Swedish Aliens Appeals Board found that gays and lesbians are not persecuted in Iran for their sexual orientation per se, but believe that 16-year-old Shaheen Kaniabad would suffer there because he has criticized the Iranian government in speaking out for gay and lesbian civil rights. The appeals board admitted that homosexual acts in Iran could lead to harsh punishment and even the death penalty.
The government of the state of Western Australia this week formally introduced its omnibus bill for sweeping legislative reform for equal treatment of gays and lesbians. Western Australia's laws have been the worst for gays and lesbians of any Australian state. The bill would amend 19 state laws to ban sexual orientation discrimination in employment, housing, education, and provisions of goods and services, to equalize the age of consent and to recognize same-gender couples in areas including pensions, inheritance, and adoptions. The ruling Australian Labor Party hopes to pass the bill by year's end despite intense opposition on several fronts. The opposition Liberal Party says it opposes discrimination, but claims the bill is too radical in its scope, was developed with insufficient public input, and would undermine the general public's basic value structures. Christian conservatives last week rallied some 2,000 people to protest.
Also this week, the Anti-Discrimination Commissioner of the Australian State of Queensland called for a similar review and reform of the state's civil rights laws, including acting to protect gays, lesbians, and transgenders from discrimination. In her annual report, Commissioner Karen Walters said that our legislation, once at the forefront of human rights legislation in Australia, now falls significantly behind.
Much of the opposition to civil rights in Western Australia has focused on equal access to fertility treatment for women who are not in relationships with men. Access to fertility treatment became the subject of national debate in Australia after a federal court struck down as marital status discrimination Victoria's state law limiting it to women in relationships with men. The Australian High Court is currently deliberating an appeal of that ruling, but the issue came to the fore again in Victoria this week when it was reported that the state's Infertility Treatment Authority had drafted new guidelines to open taxpayer-funded fertility treatment to lesbians and other single women. The Catholic Church, other Christian conservatives, and opposition state lawmakers immediately and vociferously objected, claiming the state's Australian Labor Party government was trying to sidestep the parliamentary process and public opinion. Victoria's Health Minister John Thwaites responded by saying the issue was still under discussion and the guidelines were still in draft, although they had been distributed to clinics at the beginning of October, with a letter saying he'd already endorsed them. Thwaites went on to say that new guidelines had to comply with the federal court ruling, but promised strict controls to ensure access extended no further than that ruling required. Victoria Premier Steve Brax was forced to speak to the issue and promised that for a single woman to access treatment, it would have to be clinically proven by a doctor that she was what the court had called psychologically infertile by reason of aversion to sex with men.
In the U.S., the Fort Wayne, Indiana City Council voted 5-3 this week to add sexual orientation as a category protected under the city's anti-discrimination ordinance. The move has been debated for 4 months, and it was adopted only conditionally. The civil rights protections will last only a year after they go into effect March 1st, pending a further city council vote in 2003. Meanwhile, though, Fort Wayne will be the largest city in Indiana to bar sexual orientation discrimination, something the cities of Bloomington, Lafayette, and West Lafayette have already done.
Also in the U.S., the national leadership of the Salvation Army this week forced its western region to drop the domestic partner benefits it had announced just 2 weeks before, bowing to intense criticism from Christian conservatives. The Salvation Army's Western Corporation, which serves 13 states, had said it would expand its definition of family to include registered domestic partners. That would have once again made the Salvation Army eligible for contracts with the city of San Francisco. Previously, the Salvation Army had sacrificed millions of dollars rather than comply with San Francisco's Equal Benefits Ordinance, which requires the contractors extend the same benefits to domestic partners as to married couples. But the announcement sparked a deluge of protests, some 20,000 emails in 48 hours, according to the Salvation Army's National Commission. The National Commission had decided in October to let each of its four regions set its own benefits policies, but this week vowed that we will not sign any government contract or any other funding contracts that contain domestic partner benefits requirements. There was something of a scandal earlier this year when it appeared that the Salvation Army had made a deal with the Bush administration to lobby hard for federal funding of church-run social services in return for a legal exemption from state and local civil rights laws. Despite its employment policy, the Salvation Army insists that it maintains a strict policy against discrimination in providing services.
And finally, in the face of burgeoning e-commerce, Britain's Royal Mail felt it was important to advertise its role as the carrier for two-thirds of all online purchases. In the words of the ad agency exec handling the Postal Service account, the campaign needed a celebrated shopper. You may have already guessed that the man he says fitted the bill perfectly is openly gay singer-songwriter Elton John, whose shopping addiction was recounted for the public in endless detail in a lawsuit he lost earlier this year. In the ad, a squad of mail carriers burst in to shower Sir Elton with parcels in the wake of some vigorous e-buying.
That's News Wrap for the week ending November 17th, 2001, written by Cindy Friedman and recorded at the studios of KPFK Los Angeles.
Follow the news in your area. An informed community is a strong community. For This Way Out, I'm Cindy Friedman.
And I'm John Beaupre.
As we began to discover last time on This Way Out, the profusion of widely available music by and about gays and lesbians in the past several years has roots that go back as far as the 1920s. In a special three-part series, Chris Wilson and J.D. Doyle, whom you usually hear hosting our award-winning monthly audiophile segment, are exploring our queer music heritage. That's also the name of a show J.D. hosts on KPFT in Houston, Texas. From his extensive personal music collection, J.D. is picking what he believes have been the 10 most influential gay and lesbian songs ever recorded. After a quick review of last week's installment, we'll get right into part two of Queer Vinyl.
I wanted to start with just about the earliest recording I could find that actually dealt with the subject of being gay. And this is from 1926. Merritt Bruny's and his Friars End Orchestra.
Masculine women, feminine men, which is a rooster, which is a hen? It's hard to tell them apart today and say.
Ma Rainey recorded a wonderful song, which has been done by many lesbian acts since. The song is called The Prove It On Me Blues, and it was from 1928. The next song I want to play is by Maxine Feldman, and her song is called Angry Athis. It's pretty much considered the earliest openly lesbian song.
We've run half of our lives from that damn word queer.
Feldman wrote that song in 1969. It took another 3 years before it got recorded on a 45. And it finally appeared on an album in 1979. That album was called Closet Sale.
Were there any male artists that were recording music that was openly gay at that time?
Yes, indeed. And one I think is very easy choice for me to put on this list. The artist was Stephen Grossman. And he recorded an album called Caravan Tonight in 1974. He was the first openly gay artist singing openly gay songs on a major label. And this was Mercury Records. So it was quite a breakthrough. Here is Out by Stephen Grossman.
Mama, dear mama, I've something important to say. Yes, I know you didn't plan on me turning out this way. Well, you didn't fail me, mama, and I don't love you any less. 'Cause for me it's just a matter of what suits me best. Well, no, it's hard for you to take, and it's nothing you would brag when your firstborn turns out to be a papa. Oh, papa, did I spoil your dreams? I know you wanted to see me marching in the Marines. Well, that won't prove my manhood, as it didn't prove yours. 'Cause I went to talk to that landlord while you
stood behind the door with her hair, calling me crazy. But I think it's out of fear, 'cause you're not so sure that you are. Tell me what you're gonna do if everything that has happened to me someday happens to you. Will you try to grin and bear it? Will you hate yourself inside? Will you walk with me in the sunshine? 'Cause there's really nothing to hide. 'Cause there are all kinds of people happen to be this way, and there's really nothing wrong with being the way that you want to, yeah. Nothing wrong with being, you know, it's okay. Nothing wrong with being gay.
That was Stephen Grossman singing Out from Caravan Tonight. Unfortunately, he died of AIDS in 1991. This brings us up to the 70s and a breakthrough point for our music history. And this pretty much stems from the women's music movement. And one person that kind of planted that seed was Chris Williamson. She was being interviewed on a radio show in Washington, D.C., and this was like 1971, 72. And they got to this topic of how hard it was for women to get into the music business. And she said, well, why don't you just start your own label? And several of the artists and people there decided this was a wonderful idea, and that's exactly what they did. That was Olivia Records. It produced the artists who became known as the Big Four, Chris Williamson, Holly Near, Mae Christian, and Margie Adams. They all at least got their starts on that label. This was daunting for me to even pick a song to kind of represent it, but I did pick one. I picked a Chris Williamson song called Sweet Woman. It came from the album Changer in the Changed, which, while not the first album on Olivia, was by far the largest selling lesbian album and probably remains so today.
Well, let's hear Chris Williamson's Sweet Woman.
Let it all go.
That was Chris Williamson singing Sweet Woman from 1975. I guess I need to say that just by playing Chris Williamson, I don't in any way want to slight the other fine lesbian artists of the 70s who helped pioneer this music.
Okay, J.D., what's next?
This song would probably be on the short list of what many people would name as our most famous gay anthem. It's from 1978, from the album Power in the Darkness, the Tom Robinson Band singing Glad to be Gay.
In the conclusion of this special three-part series, J.D. Doyle and Chris Wilson will feature...
I met you on a rainy day, but the sun's been out since. And I knew from that moment that you were my prince.
You can be anybody that you want to be. You can love whomever you will.
We were out in the country, spreading our wings wild and free.
Those tunes and a few more in part three of Queer Vinyl, next time on This Way Out. Thanks for choosing This Way Out, the International Lesbian and Gay Radio Magazine. This week, Cindy Friedman, John Beaupre, Brian Nunes, Chris Ambage, Jason Lynn, Rex Walknew, Graham Underhill, and Chris Wilson and J.D. Doyle contributed program material. Thanks also to Christopher David Trentum. Kim Wilson composed and performed our theme music. Remember, you can listen to This Way Out anytime online, exclusively on Planet Out. Just point your browser to www.planetout.com and click first on Multimedia, then on Radio. Some This Way Out operating expenses are funded by direct charitable donations from our listeners around the world, which are currently being matched by a grant from the Gill Foundation. For an important message explaining This Way Out's tenuous financial situation, please visit our webpage at thiswayout.org, email us at tworadio@aol.com, or write to us at Post Office Box 38327, Los Angeles, California, 90038, USA. For Associate Producer Lucia Tappel and the entire This Way Out family, I'm Greg Gordon. Thanks for listening on KMUN Astoria, Oregon, CHSR Fredericton, New Brunswick, KPFT Houston, Texas, and more than 125 other stations around the world, including this community radio station. Please stay tuned.